bitched out in the process.
Again, just super reassuring. That's, you know, those are the kind of answers that, you know, people like us in this space like to hear, because it, you know, like I said, it's definitely meaningful. So you are to be commended. Okay, you know, you hinted at something that I wanted to get at. I don't know how much you can divulge if it's HBO, but talk about that experience. You know, did they approach you, and was it just a matter of going out and filming one of these adventures?
You know, I've been amazed to see the media that's reached out to me to be part of this experience. I would have never envisioned Jimmy Kimmel wanting to throw Wild Boar meatballs across the room with me on the show, you know, or Matt Lauer wanting to talk about Wild Game on the Today Show. Like I said, I think it maybe has to do with the fact that I'm the right messenger for this, because I don't fit the stereotype, but and also because I see it off of the lens of food. But yeah, the media response has been tremendous. The New York Times just did a big feature in their magazine. Who would have thought the New York Times was writing about hunting and would spend 3 days with me in Montana on ATV with a photographer and a reporter? I mean, that says something about what's going on in our food culture.
Absolutely.
And so HBO just came. It's a show that Brian Gumbel hosts. It's called Real Sports.
Mm-hmm.
So they just came to film my last one, and they're doing a whole piece on sort of people eating what they kill. And I mean, I'm not saying this even from a place of ego, but the amount of press inquiries and media that we do on a daily basis is just shocking. And the range is shocking. I just wrote an article for Red Book, which is about as middle America as it gets in terms of like a women's magazine. And they want to talk about hunting and enjoying adventure getaways. So it's really exciting, I think, for everyone who wants to care about the land and conserve it and, you know, live that more real, you know, grounded life. I think that, you know, there's more to come. I think this next book is a little bit broader in terms of its theme. And any TV show that I do personally will probably be along those lines. I think there are a lot of hunting shows that are great on the Sportsman and Outdoor channels, but that's probably not where I fit in into the conversation. Where I can help is to be more in the mainstream culture for the TV world. So it would probably be a show that would be developed around sort of this outdoor adventure, empowerment, female girl power, pioneer skills with some hunting mixed in kind of lifestyle. So
sure. I'm excited to see it. I'm sure it's just, you know, ripe for the taking. The stars will align, and yeah, I can easily see that happening. Very cool. And you know, you again started to kind of, you know, hint at the branching out aspect of the new book, and, you know, a little bit more, you know, self-sustainability and DIY sort of things like that. So can you maybe just speak a little bit to that sort of movement in today's culture, you know, like beyond, you know, knowing what you harvest and knowing what's on your plate, just kind of the general upcycling and things like that. Can you just speak to the importance of that needing to continue on?
Yeah, I just think the reason it's so important is just sort of, like I was saying before, we just have lost these manual skills that our grandparents had that I think we really need to have. I mean, we've developed a very narrow knowledge, all of us. I mean, there was a day when we were all very well-rounded in terms of our knowledge base because we had to be. It was survival. And I think it's important for us to get back to a time where things aren't quite so comfortable. Or because, I mean, it's like you're not living life if there's not some sort of visceral experience and connection that you're having with it on a daily basis. If you're just sort of living this life where you get up, you go to your work, you check Facebook a few times, you know, you have your coffee and you stare at your computer for 8 hours and you go home and watch some more TV and then start over. That's not like how human beings are supposed to live. And I think we've created this culture of convenience, and it's allowed us to thrive in very important ways. But there needs to be an antidote to that. There needs to be a balance to that. And I think the antidote is making fresh mozzarella in 30 minutes on the weekend, or, you know, learning how to change your own tire. Just simple things that are the antidote to a very sort of virtual reality that it's so easy to slip into.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, we are absolutely happy to, you know, do that kind of slight elbow nudging of, you know, promo-ish type of stuff for your adventure weekend. So I'd love to know if there's any, you know, like further details, or, you know, we'll obviously include a link to the website, but is there anything else, just, you know, kind of what people could expect, just in general, or direction for somebody who's interested in it and wants to find out more?
Yeah, so there's an Adventure Getaways tab on my website that they can go to, and that always lists the calendar of events, the latest events that we have planned. Every weekend is different, and so that's sort of the fun part of it, is no one is ever the same, and so women come back every year over and over again, and they develop really wonderful friendships, and they have reunions afterward. And,
very cool.
So the weekend will range. I mean, it will, depending on the environment, the terrain, we'll hunt something different, from birds to wild hogs to deer. There's classes on butchering. We'll have sausage making classes. We'll have bacon making classes. And then we'll have always a cooking class. If it's a bird class, we'll have a bird, you know, bird recipe. And then there's fly fishing. There's ATV rides, 10,000 feet in the mountains sometimes. We were in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and we rode for 25 or 30 miles on these ATVs in the Blue Ridge Mountains. It was amazing.
Awesome.
And beautiful. And then there's, you know, clay shooting. Maybe we did falconry at the last one, which was totally amazing. These falcons were like dinosaurs. They were the most epic creatures. And to have them, you know, on your arm while you're walking with them, and then have them do the hunting for you, is just so astounding. Talk about, like, medieval.
I can't imagine, yeah.
And, you know, then we do fun things. We have delicious food. We have, you know, fun accommodations. It's not like they have to walk around with blood streaked on their face and not shower for 3 days. You know, this is something that I want to be accessible to all kinds of women. And so I realized very quickly that it had to have creature comforts as well. And then there's horseback riding as well. And, you know, it depends on the venue. We're going to, one in Kentucky we were talking about is going to have frog gigging. You know, so I just think there's so many fun ways to really, you know, take on nature and interact with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I guess, did I see that, you know, you can schedule like a bachelorette party or just like a, you know, weekend getaway with you. So are those sorts of things just like as they happen, or?
Yeah. So basically I do private events occasionally by request. I have gotten requests from bachelorette groups who want to have something a little more interesting than just your typical weekend in Vegas. They
want
to have a weekend where they really live life together. And that's been pretty cool to see. So occasionally I'll do one with a group that's predetermined. They all know each other. A lot of these events, the women come not knowing anybody, and they make great friends instantly. But this is sort of, you know, if you, people have a big group and they want to do something together,
gotcha.
I've done that as well.
Very cool. Yeah, I think that would be an awesome bachelorette party.
Yeah,
then
we customize it for them based on sort of what they like, and it's pretty funny. It's pretty great.
Very cool. Can't let you go without asking what your ideal wild game meal would be.
I really am a sucker for this dish that I just, one of the first probably wild game things I ever ate. Is in the Arkansas Delta, and it's a whole hog that's been slow cooked for about 12 hours, and we cover it in molasses and bacon, and a big tray of apples is underneath it, and it catches all the bacon and the molasses drippings and the fat. And, you know, by the end of 12 hours, it's all falling off the bone, and you have this sweet, salty, sticky, fatty, delicious concoction, and it's a huge tray full of whole hog. So I think that will never really be over sort of, nothing will really ever be better than that in my mind, I think.
And have you ever been able to replicate it, or like it's only good if you get it there?
No, I've been able to replicate it actually.
Excellent.
And I think you can do it with a smaller cut of wild hog as well, but it's just that there's definitely something in the air of the Mississippi River that helps, I would say. But
I think
you
so
can
too.
Do it yourself as well if you have a big barrel smoker.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it goes back to, you know, something you mentioned in the beginning, the difference in tastes of meat. Well, you know, not only does wild game taste different than what you buy in the grocery store, but a turkey shot in New Mexico is going to taste completely different than a turkey shot in Ohio.
So
you know, there's that whole aspect to it,
too. And it's exciting. I mean, each dish is a new culinary adventure. And for it as a chef, it's really exciting for me. You know, I know that every turkey is going to taste different. And so how am I going to handle that? How am I going to treat it? So
absolutely.
Kind of cool.
It is very cool. Anything else you wanted to mention, wanted to touch on? We definitely covered a lot.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, you have my website and the link to the Adventure Getaways page.
Is there a date for Modern Pioneering that we
March
could mention?
4th.
March 4th, okay.
Yeah. March 4th. I can send you There's some images. If you want to pull any images, I have a whole link on my website to two different links to a whole host of images you can use.
Fabulous. Okay. Big thanks for that.
If you want to send an email, we can email to you. But,
okay.
Should
be able to track it down, but that would be a big
help.
Yeah,
there's one on my Across the Media page, and then there's one on the Venture Getaways tab. You'll see a link. And then, we post all kinds of fun things and contests and things on my Facebook page, which is people like. There's a lot of great interaction among outdoorsy people on that page. It's a great sort of community that's very engaged, so that's kind of fun to see.
And you know what, it brings up one last quick question too. The advancement of technology in this space, you know, you have a website, you have Facebook,
yeah.
you sell books on Amazon,
yeah.
Can you just quickly, address how important it is to kind of have that online community feel to what you do?
Oh, certainly. I mean, I think, one of the great parts about things have becoming so technologically driven in our world is that it allows you to create community and sort of further a cause in a way that's efficient and transparent. And so, while it's sort of this constant balance that I'm trying to strike and that sort of I'm trying to help other people strike, it's sort of, I want to live a certain life where I'm connected to like nature, but in a way, the way you further that and help promote that and do it efficiently is, through a Facebook fan page or a website where people can really gather and connect with each other and share ideas, encourage each other and share recipes and tips. I think that's really important because in a way that helps further the cause as well.
Absolutely. And I have reason to believe that I'm certain there's a huge, community behind,
yeah.
You and what you do and,
yeah.
and your social media presence and your
yeah.
website and things like that. So,
yeah.
Not unlike what we're trying to cultivate here, we have a large readership base and growing by the day, and it's
great.
Always important to, give them the type of stuff that they're going to, appreciate, but also learn from and,
mm-hmm.
step out of with some new knowledge
yeah.
and things like that.
For sure.
Very cool. Well, Georgia, it was an absolute pleasure.
You too.
Can't tell you enough.
It was great to meet you guys.
Likewise.
I heard about you, but I hadn't really made the connection that you were, I don't know if I knew you were in Austin or what, but
yeah,
it's cool that you're in Austin.
Indeed. And, you wouldn't think a outdoors website would be ran from the smack dab middle of downtown Austin,
hey,
right on Congress, but we love it. Yeah. And, we're happy to be here. We know Central Texas is a huge outdoor
mm-hmm.
opportunity in and of itself. So.
And the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation is starting a young professionals group. I don't know if you're familiar with that. I went to their opening.
We are, yeah.
And
are they having social gatherings and that sort of thing?
They're starting to, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to their planning meeting in January, and then
okay.
I'm actually about to. I agreed to cook the dinner for their board of trustees.
Good for you.
In the middle of January, so
fabulous.
It sounds like they're doing more and more, especially with young people, which is pretty great.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, again, all part of what we're trying to do, continue the appreciation of this
mm-hmm.
culture down through the generations. I've got a 9.5-month-old at home, too, who's going to get his first fishing pole for
nice.
Christmas.
That's
he
great.
May not be able to hold it straight yet, but he'll have one.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, indeed. Well, thank you again.
Sure.